From the inside of Ideal Collaborative, this is the Optimal Human Health Podcast.
Willpower and eating less and exercising more.
All right.
I feel that's true.
We're going to do that. We're going to do the clap thing.
Like gonorrhea?
Oh, just spike the audio.
Oh.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Optimal Human Health Podcast. This is Coach Jake, and today we have Coach Josh and Coach Roseanne with us. How are you guys doing today?
Hola, señoritas.
We are recording this, so that video will be up shortly after this podcast is released, so you'll have the audio and the video version as well. We're trying to do a little bit of a Joe Rogan experience, except we don't have the live version of this because streaming is too hard to figure out.
And we're not as cool as Joe.
We're not as cool.
I am.
So.
I love your confidence.
How's everybody doing today? Are we good? Can everybody see?
Are you talking to us or the audience? Because they can't respond back to you.
I got wet hair. I decided to shower before it came.
Ooh. How many times do you do that a month?
You're asking how many times you shower a month?
Yeah, is it like once a month you shower?
No, but I have my lady doctor appointment today, so I had to shower this morning.
That turned around on me too quick. Wasn't ready for that one.
Let's slide that light back right there. What are we going to talk about today, guys, since you guys have been throwing around topics and trying to figure out what we're going to talk about in the podcast over the week? What have we finally decided on? What's today's topic going to be?
Let him have it, Josh.
Myths.
Nutrition.
Nutrition and dietary myths.
Oh, myths.
Myths.
M-Y-T-H.
Myths.
S.
I feel like, what is that thing called again?
Myth.
When you like
ASMR?
When you whisper. Oh. We're going to talk about identifying myths in diet today.
And then you have to like eat a bowl of mac and cheese right now.
And then you just yell into the mic.
It's good.
Mac and cheese.
Okay, so we started discussing some of these. Roseanne had a list she was actually going to use. We're going to use that for reference.
We are.
I thought we were.
Okay.
So what is the first myth on that list that we can talk about?
Well, is there one in particular you want to hit on?
I mean, the most popular ones, of course. Like protein. You can never have too much protein. I hear that quite a bit, right?
Is that a question or you can too?
No, it's a statement.
Oh, okay, it's a statement.
Yeah, the statement is you can never have too much protein.
Or you can never have too much protein.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
And this is true or false?
What do you think?
I think you can have too much protein. I think if you're overeating, if you're taking in so many calories and, you know, 70% of that is protein, then yeah, you can have too much protein.
It's really hard on the kidneys.
Yeah, you're not getting enough of your other macros.
Yeah, and if you consume too much protein that your body can handle, it actually converts it into fat. It goes to the adipose tissue.
Yeah, so nobody wants that.
Nobody wants to show a bowl full of jelly.
I like jelly.
There's no protein in jelly.
Really?
Is there?
That fascinates me.
I don't know.
Well,
I don't eat jelly.
It's sugar. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Well,
it's processed fruit.
And there's fruit
I feel like there might be a small percentage of protein in
it. If there's some gelatin in there.
There's what's the binding agent? Leptin?
Collagen? Oh.
Pectin.
Pectin. That's what it is.
Pectin.
I don't know enough about that, so I can't answer that intelligently.
Yeah.
I don't either.
I feel like there might be
a little bit. I think you're correct.
It's a topic for another podcast, I believe. Yeah.
Not really.
What the fuck is jelly? Yeah.
But yes, I believe that you can have too much protein.
Yes.
But I believe in my experience with myself and with my clients, women tend to not eat enough protein.
Ooh.
They always think they eat
enough. So
they
the
always
reverse.
Think they have a lot because they have some with every meal. And then when you actually start logging your food, right, and tracking, then you find out,
So now do you think that comes with a fear of getting bulky?
I don't want to put on muscle. If I eat too much protein, I'll get bulky.
I
don't
want to look like a man. Maybe a little bit, but I think also if you're starting to really look at your nutrition and you're taking that step of logging your food, that you're just kind of trying to stay within certain parameters or staying within clean eating, and you just like, okay, this little piece of chicken looks good enough. But if you were to actually measure it out and what you should be taking in, you know, you should probably be taking 3 or 4 ounces, and the piece that you pulled out was only 2. That's pretty insignificant. I mean,
yeah,
it's pretty significant, less of amount that you should be having.
All right.
I did not say that correctly.
So
you know what I mean?
Do you know what the dietary recommendations for protein consumption a day is?
Well, what I go by, what other people go by, are two different things.
That's true. So for the general population, it's about 20 to 30 grams per meal, right? And all you will want to do is support lean muscle tissue. So the myth that goes behind protein as well, so this is another myth, they're supposed to eat a gram of protein per body weight. That's a myth, right? We want to facilitate muscle growth and maintain that through supporting it with 1 gram of protein per lean body mass.
Yes, that's exactly what I go
per pound of lean body mass, right?
Okay.
Now, if you're looking to put on muscle, right, then you probably want to go maybe 10 to 15% above that. Mm-hmm. You never want to go full body weight because your body's just going to store that extra protein into fat.
That's an old school thought, and I'll get people that'll still do that. And I'm like, damn, how do you get 200?
But I will argue, to be devil's advocate, there's still a lot of research and studies out there that kind of promote the opposite of that, where you can up the grams of protein and it really doesn't affect you. It just depends on how your body absorbs it and how efficiently. So depending on the body type and all that stuff where genetics comes into play, there's other information out there that could counteract that.
Yeah. Well, then you're going to get
your... But we're talking about the general population for basic nutrition needs.
Probably not vegans or vegetarians because
That was actually where I was going to go next. So they're going to... There's a few athletes now that have switched to vegan or vegetarian. Mm-hmm. And I think we've talked about it before, but they have to, since most plant proteins are incomplete amino profiles, they have to combine different types of protein to complete the full amino acid profile. So they actually gain muscle and don't lose it. And, mm-hmm. Do they have to eat more or less than a regular person?
They have to eat the same amount, right? But their quantity of food might increase because of the type of foods they're eating.
Right.
And like you pointed on, yes, combining
calories are so much less.
Yeah. Less dense food. And on top of that, it's not that they need to eat the same amount as, say, a meat eater, right? It's just, they need to look at where their protein sources are coming from. So, yeah. And there's quite a few places they can get it. It's just they have to eat a larger amount to get that same quantity, and they're missing out on certain vitamins like B vitamins and stuff like that when they don't eat meat, so they have to find other places to get it. You can do it. You just have to be very knowledgeable as a vegan on where you get your protein sources, so it can be done. It's not difficult. It's just it takes a lot more research and time. So
I feel like that if you're not an
put it in your face.
Okay, I'm gonna lean back.
We're adjusting Roseanne's mic because
all right. She's I kind of feel like if you're limp. If you're a vegan and you're not an athlete of any kind, it's not gonna stay that way.
Just put it in your mouth.
So for those of you watching the video, Roseanne actually has the limpest mic on our set. So
you could tighten it though.
No, right? That doesn't work actually. We tried that. Ooh. Oh, there you go.
Now it's just gonna go flaccid. Of course
she'd be the one to get it to stand up. All right.
It's going flaccid. I see it moving.
Will you continue your point? I didn't mean to.
Okay, so unless you're an athlete, and if you're a vegan and you're an athlete, I don't think you're paying attention to your protein at all. I really don't think people do. And from what I've seen too with my clients, vegans tend to get about half as much protein in as meat eaters
because they're not focusing on it.
And you have to also look at people who are promoting veganism. One popular guy that I know is Rob Bailey. He's a bodybuilder married to DLB, Dana Lynn Bailey.
She was in the news recently.
She's got rhabdo. Yeah, she got rhabdo. But he is a big proponent of veganism. I think he's been on it for maybe a year or two, or I don't know the exact dates. But you have to look at his base. He built his muscle off of eating meat. So there's kind of a mixed perception on that, on how those people are getting built so quickly. It's probably because they built their physique on eating meat initially and then switched over to veganism and found a way to do it.
That makes sense.
I have a question off of that, which is probably another diet myth. Would it make sense for somebody who's attempting to change their body composition to eat meat to gain lean muscle or eat protein like that, or just eat a regular diet. And then once they have that up and they want to cut down, should they switch to veganism or vegetarian?
Depends what.
Because it seems like that's what the idea is most behind most bodybuilders' rationale for doing that, or other athletes as well, because they end up using the argument like meat is inflammatory, which it can be, or things like that. So they get taken out to try and cut back down to like a leaner body fat percentage.
Yeah, I mean, that's a touchy one, right? Yeah. And it comes down to just variety. So
yeah.
I wouldn't argue that whatsoever. Because they are adding a lot of variety in their food. So yeah. Switching between meat and non-meat for a while, that's perfectly fine. It just comes down to personal preference.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, it's all healthy, right?
Yep.
And we're not arguing that you should or should not do it, or it's unhealthy or not healthy. It's just how you do it, and you have to be intelligent about it and do your research. It can all be very healthy and sustainable. You just got to know how to do it.
Yeah, and decide in your your purpose behind it.
Yeah.
Like, do you want a more varied diet? Do you want... Is it you're just opposed to killing animals, you know,
and
all of that?
And I would, as a nutrition coach, I would never tell anybody that veganism or vegetarianism is bad. It's what they want to, what's their preference on it. And if they want to try it, then by all means, we can help them out. So it's a healthy diet. It's just, what are your goals? What are you trying to attain?
And why are you doing
and that? I would always argue variety is the key.
Yeah, but how many people have you heard... have read like the China study or seen this documentary, that documentary, and then suddenly going, oh, I'm going on a plant-based diet. Like,
yeah.
And they just total, it's, I mean, it's no different than any other fat diet, I guess, or
and I read
keto or whatever.
And I read that China study, and there's some flaws that I picked out in it personally that I didn't really like it. The only type of protein they used was casein, which is a pretty bad protein in itself. They didn't talk about whey protein or any other types of protein utilization in that study. So, and then the places they went to, they didn't talk about the adverse side of that. So they talked about a lot of vegetarians and stuff like that, but they didn't go to places where heart disease was really low while they were eating meat at the same time. So they left out a lot of vital information on that.
Well,
study.
That author admitted that there's quite a few things that he omitted.
Yeah.
In that book.
And that went on for quite a while too. So,
okay. What is diet myth number two?
Do you have one?
I think one of my favorites from The Office.
I know what you're gonna say.
What?
Is why am I forgetting her name right now?
Kelly.
Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, Kelly Kapoor's diet on a cleanse, right?
It's funny because this keeps coming up every time we talk about cleanses.
Water, lemon, and cayenne pepper.
Yep.
Isn't there maple syrup in there?
Yeah, it's maple syrup too. It's a mixture of water, lemon, cayenne, and maple syrup.
So here's my only argument to a cleanse and why they don't work and why it's a myth. Your body already naturally detoxes and cleanses itself through multi functions of the body, right?
So we have a liver, right?
So your liver, mm-hmm. your kidneys, mm-hmm. when you sweat, like you perspire and all that stuff, like, and you breathe, your lungs do it as well. So your body already has these natural detox systems and cleansing systems already in the body. So anything that you're trying to do with just water or anything like that is horseshit.
So why would somebody, what leads somebody to think they need to go on a cleanse?
The misinformation.
Like misinformation, or if they've been eating like crap, right?
Yeah, they went on vacation, they ate and drank a lot.
The alternative to that, which I think is a little more effective, which I'm not going to recommend for anybody, so don't take this as a recommendation. But usually if you eat really shitty, I think Brian's done it a couple times too, you go on a fast.
Yeah.
Like you fast out to let your body reset.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
Between a fast and a cleanse or a detox.
Right.
Right. A cleanse or a detox, you're still trying to take in water or tea or whatever the case may be. You're just not getting any calories.
Yeah.
Now, fasting, on the other hand, has a lot of great research. Intermittent fasting specifically has a lot of great research, and a lot of dietitians and nutritionists recommend that type of diet because you're still getting your caloric intake in. You're just waiting long periods of time of not eating. And when I say long periods of time, I mean like
16 hours.
Yeah, 12 to 16 hour time frames of not eating, and then you have that 8 to 10 hour window of eating. So, I mean, you're still eating, but you're allowing your body to reset. You're allowing the cells to do their things and process all the food. So, and it helps helps people with lose weight, and there's just great research behind intermittent fasting, but that's completely different from a cleanse or a detox.
Yeah. I think a fast is better if you're like on this carb train and you can't seem to get off, like you're just craving carbs and stuff.
Carb train.
It's like almost and almost like if a fast will like kind of eliminate that, as opposed if you're still taking in whatever, your cayenne pepper, whatever, with maple syrup, you're still getting those carbs and that craving.
Do people that use cleanses use them as a crutch because they're continuing to eat like shit?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then with a fast too, there's also been studies and research that it initiates gene expressions, right, in the body. So it turns on different switches in the body to either increase enzymes for breaking down food processes and stuff like that, or, you know, whatever the case may be. So there's a lot of great information out there.
What about tummy teas?
Tummy teas?
Yeah, slim tummy teas. I was thinking about getting one. I saw a girl on Instagram, you know, doing it, and she lost like 5 pounds.
What the hell's a tummy tea?
It's basically, you know, somebody I would get it through an Instagram model or Instagram fitness model, because it's obviously who has it. And they're trying to like lose 10 pounds in like 3 days or something like that. So I think it'd be a good idea, you know, throw it in there like a tummy tea. I think all it is you just drink the teas for 21 days or some shit like that.
So I've been learning a lot on how to talk to these kind of people.
Oh yeah.
My first instinct to say is you're a fucking moron. Let's get this on the real track. The other side of me is I have to be a little bit more compassionate. And with that, I would ask some open-ended questions and kind of get to understand where their knowledge is coming from and then ease into the subject. But yeah, that's
more likely than not. Then the knowledge is, oh, she looks good. She does that. He looks good.
But
he
they
does
don't.
That.
They don't know how long it took them to get there, right? So,
if they even use that product,
exactly.
What about a corset or a tummy trainer?
Oh, no, like those sweatbands.
Like the things that they put around their.
You know what's
that's
funny? Though?
Actually, that's okay. That okay. Go ahead. You say yours.
So. I tried one of those.
Did you really?
For about a month.
Yeah.
When I first got into working out, I tried those gimmicks, and I had a friend who did it. He's like, it just makes you sweat, and it like really like keeps your abdomen tight and blah blah blah. It keeps you warm during your workout. So I tried it, and personally, I found out it doesn't do anything for you. It just makes your fucking stomach wet and your shorts drenched in sweat.
Okay. This reminds me. We had a sponsor give us this. They're no longer a sponsor, so I feel like we can talk freely about them. But there's a trend. We're kind of we'll loop back in a second. But there's a trend that like fitness models like to use, where they will they use this stuff called sweet sweat. Have you heard of it?
Mm-mm.
So all it is, they just said it in their byline. They said it's a thermogenic formula that you place on your skin. So it's a topical cream,
a lotion.
Exactly.
Okay.
So you place it on your abdomen, and then you wrap your abdomen in either Saran wrap or one of those tummy trainers. And it's supposed to increase core temperature and allow you to burn fat. Total bullshit.
Right.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I don't have to test it to know.
I'm not pretty bullshit. Sure. I'm pretty absolute.
Absolute sure. Oh my God.
But there are people that use it because they think it actually works. That's the reason why the diet industry and fitness industry is so confusing, because there's so many outlets of misinformation for people just putting products out there trying to make money.
And that's
a billion-dollar industry of losing weight fast.
The sad part, not really the sad part, but the least exciting part, is it's simply good sleep, good nutrition, and good recovery methods are the way to do it.
And we talk about free. Like people selling stuff, I always like to bring up, what was it, Bigger, Stronger, Faster? That documentary on how they take before and after photos.
Oh yeah.
Do you realize that they most of the time take those in the same day? And what they'll do is they'll come in with somebody without a tan, right? They'll take their picture with horrible lighting, blah blah blah, whatever, right?
Brush.
Then they'll put on like some tanning lotion. They'll shave their chest hairs and stuff like that. They'll have them suck in their gut a little bit. And then they'll take the picture with like really good lighting, and then they'll manipulate it in their program. And that's how they get their before and after.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's some
real quick. We're going to take a little bit of a break. When we come back, we'll talk about diet myth number 3.
Breaks. We're taking breaks now.
Break.
What if we have to shit or go to the bathroom?
All right.
I need water.
See you guys in a second.
Like, are you literally.
Need help with your nutrition? Does your diet consist mainly of mac and cheese and chicken nuggets? Are you excited about beach season being right around the corner and you still looking like a polar bear in a string bikini? Well, the nutrition professionals at Ideal Collaborative Nutrition can help. From using biometric testing to determine exactly what you need to eat, when you need to eat it, and how much you need to eat, Ideal Collaborative Nutrition Services are some of the most revolutionary services on the market. For more information on Ideal Collaborative Nutrition or to set up an appointment with Coach Josh, email josh@cutthroatcrossfit.com.
He was standing last time.
All right, and we're back. Roseanne has peed, gotten some water. Josh checked out the setup we have over here, and we're back to talk about part number three. Not part number three, but just diamyth number three. Roseanne's good. Now we have to adjust the mic.
Wow.
It's like a milking table.
Oh, that's pretty good.
There you go.
Right in your face.
If I fall in.
Oh, is that?
For those of you listening to this, we are doing a recorded version of it, so the video will actually be up on YouTube following this. We're looking at Roseanne trying to adjust her mic, and she's having a rough time.
Roseanne literally went up 2 feet in the air, and she's like, it's hotter up here.
It totally is.
This is how the rest of us feel.
Guess what? Heat rises. This is what we feel.
Careful. Don't pull hard. Okay, what is diet myth number three? What are you doing? Sorry, we're having a delay here because Roseanne does not have her.
What else were we talking about?
What's a good myth?
Fat is bad.
That's a pretty common one. Fat is bad for you, so
everything needs to be low fat.
People like to go on low fat diets because they believe fat is fat.
So I feel like that's an older myth that we have kind of made this huge pendulum swing.
Yeah,
like into the keto diet.
That's probably true.
So this is kind of an older myth, but yeah, fat doesn't make you fat.
And on that, people believe that low-fat foods are actually healthier for you when they are actually not.
Yeah.
They require more processing and other ingredients that are not natural necessarily. So
what happens with that is when you take the fat out of food, it becomes very bland and nobody wants to eat it. So what do they do to disguise that? They add sugar. Now, the loophole with adding sugar is sugar has no caloric intake value whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't constitute as calories. So they get away with saying low cal, low fat when they've added a whole bunch of sugar to it to make it a little bit sweeter, which in turn gets processed in your body and gets stored as fat, right? So it actually is making you fatter.
Yeah. I remember when the no fat, low fat was around, I'd be like, oh, I can eat forever Twizzlers and forever.
Do you know where that all tamales. Do you know where that all stems from too?
It's the sugar industry.
No, well, yeah, that, and it's like 1975 from the, man, I feel like I'm going to butcher the fuck out of this. So if somebody wants to correct me, feel free to, but it's like from like 1975 where they had the nutrition summit in Washington, and one of the state representatives talked a whole bunch about nutrition with misinformation that was funded by all the big corporations like the meat and dairy industry and stuff like that. And they just bombarded everybody with fat is bad for you.
Oh, yeah. You tell them and they
believe it. And that's very basic, and I could be off a little bit, but yeah, that's my understanding of it. So,
yeah, people are better about researching this stuff instead of taking it for.
There was in the 90s too, when there was like the low fat diet craze. The food companies created a fat alternative called Olestra.
Oh, yeah. That makes you crap, right?
Yes, it does. Olestra, your body can't process Olestra for some reason. I can't remember exactly why. You guys can leave the details in the comment section below. But yeah, if you eat too much of it, it causes you to shit, basically. So,
it's a laxative.
So it's in things like, I can't believe it's not butter or country crock or some weird spread like that. And it's in fat-free cookies and things like that. Basically, all it does is it improves the mouthfeel of the product, because if we had some food without fat in it, it wouldn't really be palatable. I mean, you could still eat it, but I mean, it wouldn't be as good as, say, like a fat-free cookie would not be as good as a regular cookie without Olestra in it. So that's why.
I remember them having chips and stuff too.
Yeah.
With that.
You can eat more. No, you can't, because calories are calories. More food you consume is still more food. Right?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Calorie is a calorie.
You still need.
So there's the argument on that. Is the calorie really just a calorie? I have a whole article on that posted on our website. So if you want to learn more about that, feel free to.
I think it still is.
More information on that, head to the Ideal Collaborative website.
I have zero processed foods in my diet. And, but I've also, and I've felt like things have trimmed down for me quite a bit, but also realizing I'm having more like coconut milk, like the canned coconut milk. So I'm having a lot more fat. Mm-hmm. I'm taking in more coconut, anything, everything, mm-hmm. shredded coconut.
And that's good fats, right?
Yeah, it is. It's good fats. It's all good fats, but I'm eating a lot of it.
Yeah.
So I started tracking that last week and it was like, holy shit.
We went a little overboard.
Remember how I used to go in and grab a handful of shredded coconut to eat? You can't do that
anymore. Exactly. Now, yeah. And let's talk about, there are such things as bad fats, right? So the trans fats are absolutely horrible, right? So that's really bad on your system. And they're all over the place there. And when you get fried food and stuff like that. So yeah, fat, the good fats, the ones that promote HDL and stuff like that, high dense lipids in mm-hmm. your body, right? Cholesterol, stuff like that. That's the type of fats you want to go for. But trans fats are the ones you want to stay away from, or hydrogenated fats, right? Mm-hmm. Oils.
So what's the best oil to fry in? What do you think is the best oil to fry in?
There's a couple of different. There's like coconut oil avocado oil. Yeah. Olive oil is okay depending on the quality of it, right? And how high the heat is that you cook with, yeah. right?
So usually for higher heat stuff, you want to go with avocado or grapeseed oil yeah. or coconut. Coconut yeah. is the same thing.
So I admit I have I have a Big Daddy fryer at home.
You have not.
Is that like a...
Elaborate.
It's just a pot and it's got oil in it and you fry shit in there. But I've had, ever since I got it, I only put coconut oil in it. Yeah. And it makes your like sweet potato fries or even your...
So much
potato
better.
So much better. Like my family like loves it.
Yeah.
They could totally taste the difference. And
you have to buy an air fryer.
I know. You keep telling me on the air fryer.
I've had a couple of things from an air fryer. Holy fuck.
It's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So an air fryer, for those of you who aren't familiar, isn't actually a fryer. It's like a mini convection oven. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. And they call it a fryer, I think, because it's more marketable, but really it cooks small amount of whatever you're trying to cook in there really quickly, and it makes it nice and crispy, which is awesome because mm-hmm. you have a hard time doing that in the oven. For somebody that's trying to eat healthy, they're trying to make like sweet potato fries or things like that, it's really hard to do in an oven. So that's the place to.
That's where I should try. Have you tried sweet potatoes in that? In yours?
What?
In your air fryer?
Oh, I don't have one.
I did it with you recommended the one time with rosemary and olive oil. Yeah. It's fantastic. Great. Yeah.
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 I want one now.
They're on
because
sale
I have
at Costco.
To decrease my fat.
On sale at Costco. Speaking of which, this is kind of my opinion. It's an offshoot. I think anybody that fries their food indoors needs to be sent to a different country.
Like frying a turkey. Indoors?
Well, no, I mean just fry your food outside. If you ever you can tell when somebody fries food inside their house, because if you walk in, you're like, oh shit, it smells like McDonald's or something like that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just the smell.
I don't fry.
That's my opinion.
I don't fry anything.
You guys can
that's
write things in the comments below.
Sweet potatoes.
I mean, I guess frying in a pan is about the most I do if I do it.
Have you guys ever had like deep fried Oreos or things like that?
No.
Yes.
Yeah. Same here.
Really? Deep fried Twinkies.
Are those good to have?
Yes.
Yeah.
Deep fried Twinkies.
I've never had that.
We do not recommend this, so do not eat these things.
Those are like carnival food.
Deep fried Reese's. Yeah, that's where I got it. I got it at the Minnesota State Fair when I was.
So I will say this, right? It's okay to have those things, right? Yeah. Small amounts.
Shut the fuck up.
No, he's kidding. He's kidding. All right, let's get back on topic. We're getting a little long
here. He's like, that's not fun. Funny.
So, damn, he made me lose my point. So it's okay to have that stuff in small portions just for a taste here and there, right? I don't ever want to say don't eat that stuff, right?
Every day.
Every day. But don't eat large amounts of that. Just give it a taste. Yeah, it tastes. Enjoy it. One cheat meal. Just a tip.
Let's go do that after this.
Just a dip?
What?
Let's go do something.
What do you want to do?
You want to play just a tip?
Eat something.
Oh. I didn't factor that into my meals.
Oh,
you can't do that to a man.
I actually can't.
If we go eat something,
I can only do something with egg whites right now.
I'm advocating for sushi.
Okay.
Or tacos.
Tacos are always good.
Damn it.
Are we done?
No, we're not done. We're still going. We're like talking about other diet myths. So what are some other common diet myths?
My new one is carbs are bad for you.
Carbs are bad, so that leads to the carnivore diet.
Yeah, I think people are steering kind of clear a little away from that, but it's still for sure.
Is that like a stepping stone from gluten-free? Because they believe that gluten's evil.
I would agree. I would say yeah.
Okay. But it, carbs, led to the carnivore diet, right?
Yeah, the carnivore diet is still out for judgment, in my opinion. There's some research out there on it, but long term, we don't have any kind of information on it whatsoever. Yeah. What it does to the body. There's a few people out there. Jordan Peterson and his daughter.
They've seen some benefits.
So his daughter, her history on food is quite interesting. And Jordan Peterson, if you don't know who he is, he's a Canadian professor. I forgot what university he teaches at, but he speaks across the country on political issues and stuff like that. Very intelligent guy, fun to listen to. But his daughter is extremely intelligent as well. And she had a lot of autoimmune disorders in her gut, and she would limit a whole bunch of foods and try to incorporate them into her diet.
It's so like an elimination diet, right?
Yeah, yeah. And she kept having these issues with her gut and stuff like that, where she would break out or she would have dizzy spells or things of that nature. And after all of her research and stuff like that, she came across the carnivore diet and just started eating meat, and her health has improved. Like, all kinds of stuff have changed for her for the better. So for her, it's been great. And she's found a lot of research and stuff like that, but we don't know the long-term effects of that.
So that would be one of those situations too, where it's worked for her, but it may not necessarily work for you.
Exactly. Right. And there might be a small percentage of people out there who can only tolerate that, right? It's not for everybody. And that goes with every diet, right? But they're not getting the fiber content or, you know, minerals, vitamins, minerals from plants and vegetables and stuff like that. So it's, That one's kind of iffy. I don't know enough about it to speak intelligently. Yeah. So
I think Jake's right. I think it depends upon the person. And that's where I get frustrated when people come in and talk to me like, "Oh, my coworker lost all this weight on this, and I want to do that too." And it's like
let's
not do that.
That's so kind of to further that too on the athletic performance side of it. I know a few of my weightlifter friends that are actually trying carnivore. And they seem to be doing really well on it, but I know that if I attempted it, I might do really well for a period of time, but that I've done it where I've pulled carbs out completely, or I've switched them to, I did like the Whole 30 or something like that. And my lifts just went to shit after 30 days.
Carbs are important.
They are.
They're very important.
I think you just have to, like, when I talk to my clients, I tell them, you know, like, what are we talking about carbs here? Are we talking processed foods? And that's usually what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get rid of that.
And that's where we have to change this whole talk, right? The change talk about this. So carbs in and of itself, like good quality carbs from fruits and vegetables, things of that, healthy grains, like, are really good for you. They're extremely beneficial and they're needed for processes in the bodies, right?
Yeah. And recovery.
Exactly. So when we talk about eliminating the bad carbs, like processed foods, anything that comes in a box, anything with loaded sugar, stuff like that, that's the bad carbs that we want to stay away from. But a lot of people don't even understand what a real carb is, right?
No, they don't realize there's carbs in vegetables.
Yeah, well, that's like, carbs are primarily vegetables, right? And a lot of people don't even understand that. So when I ask a new client, like, are you eating carbs? And they're like, no. And then I turn around and I ask them, are you eating vegetables? And they're like, yeah. Are you eating fruit? Yeah, I'm eating that. Well, those are carbs. So
it's education.
So, education. So I think a lot of people don't really understand the whole complexity of a carbohydrate, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where that misinformation comes from. Like, right now, and knowing your body too. So there are people out there who are very efficient fat burners, and that's what they're known for. Mm-hmm. And then genetically, there's people like myself who are extreme and efficient carbohydrate burners. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't function without carbs. Yeah. So most of my diet is high carbohydrate intake, but my carbs come from rice or quinoa, tons of vegetables, peppers specifically. I love sweet potatoes, stuff like that. They're starchy carbohydrates, stuff like that. So they're whole good quality carbohydrates and where they're coming from. So yeah, we need to teach people on good carbs and bad carbs. So anything in a box or loaded with sugar.
Right.
There.
Okay. Do we have any other myths we want to cover? We might have, maybe we'll pull out one more we could talk about.
What do you got, Roseanne?
What do you got over there?
I would like to talk about the keto diet, because I think that's
a diet myth.
The diet myth that the keto diet is the top diet as of right now, and why it's so important, and why it doesn't work for most people. right?
Okay. Sure. Let's go ahead. Yep. Talk about the keto diet. Yeah,
learn about the history of the keto diet, right? Okay. It was developed back in the 50s or 60s for kids with epilepsy.
Yep.
To treat that.
Really?
Yeah. So they had a lot of...
to this day, people use it.
Exactly. And
does it actually help with that?
Yes.
It does.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of scientific research.
That's interesting.
But you have to look at where those kids are coming from, right? And then also, if you live a sedentary lifestyle, sure, the keto diet might work for you if you're an efficient fat burner, right?
Yeah.
But it takes time, and most people don't really fully engulf themselves into the diet and really reap the benefits. And there's also people who don't understand that they're probably more of a carb burner than a fat burner, so they never really get past that threshold, so it never works for them.
Yeah. But if they're not all in, it's not like, oh, I can cheat here and there. You can't. That's the thing with that diet. You can't.
And going back to carbohydrates, the brain solely functions on carbohydrates.
That's glucose, right?
Yeah. Like your brain can be switched to using ketones after some time, after your body adapts. But carbohydrates are the number one things to fuel the brain. And if you don't eat enough carbs throughout the day, you're going to feel sluggish, your cognitive function is going to decrease, and it's just going to take a toll on your whole body. So you have to have carbs to fuel the brain. But there are some arguments out there that endurance runners, like ultramarathon runners, like 200 miles a day they run, they find that the keto diet is great for them because burning fat is a more efficient tool for them rather than carbs, right? Because it's a slow burn energy phase.
And there's more calories per gram.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But again, that comes down to genetics and what kind of person you are. Mm-hmm. So there are arguments in scientific research that the keto diet is great for those type of people and individuals. Mm-hmm. But you have to learn what your body is capable of. So
yeah, I think most people, like you say, don't give it enough time. They think 2 weeks into keto and they don't see any differences or
right. And they don't understand when they're in
ketosis.
and when they're not in ketosis. Why can I not say that one? Fuck. That's a tongue twister for me. So there's a lot of miseducation out there on the keto diet.
So let's
bam.
Let's talk about where these come from and why myths are even in existence. I think it's my opinion that because the basis for just a healthy lifestyle and healthy eating and not being obese is pretty simple, that people have tried that or they've tried that and they feel that they need something to actually help them do it faster, or they want to achieve a massive amount of weight loss or body composition change without having to do all the work.
Yeah.
So I think that's why those are out there, because they're kind of an easy out for somebody who doesn't feel like they have the time to do it, or it's not one of their number one priorities, but they still want to look good in a bathing suit or something like that.
Quick and money.
And here's another one too. So with a lot of these cases on why people that switch over to these certain diets is they look at like a community or a population, right? That can have like 100,000 people, and say like 300 people in that little area gets like cardiovascular disease or whatever. And they figure out what their diet entails, and it's like a high meat, right? And they're sensitive to meat to begin with genetically. Mm-hmm. But when they look at the research, most people don't dive solely into the research, and they just kind of look at it as a blanket statement.
Yep.
Oh, eating too much meat is bad for you, right? It causes cardiovascular disease and stuff like that, right? So then they put it on the whole population that meat is bad for you, right? So it's miseducation on where the research is coming from to begin with.
Right.
So instead of looking at the whole population on what's going on, they dive into like one small community, they pick apart the research and use it for their own benefit to get across that, meat is bad for you. It causes cardiovascular disease. This is how many people it's affected. But they don't really put it in the whole scope of things. They just give you a little snapshot and make that judgment on
just that. What I think is really shitty off of that is that we also, as a society, have this thing called, it's like the authority bias or something like that. We're more likely to listen to somebody that has a number or letter in front of their name, or wears a white coat, or is a professional that's like, say, a dietitian or something like that, because they've put in the work and they're believed to be experts. So we believe what they tell us at face value just because they put in the time and the work or on the back end, supposedly. And, I think that's kind of shitty because there's a lot of nutritionists shortchanging other nutritionists because of that.
Yeah. Or doctors. Making money. Money is a big one, right?
Yeah, the money. That's exactly it. And the reality is you have to be your own advocate. If you think this might work for you and sounds like a good idea for you, the keto diet, then you should do some research and figure out, is this a good plan for me? Mm-hmm. Is it something that's doable for me?
That's just it.
Get your blood work done.
Whether your lifestyle, yeah. Make sure your blood work done. You're the right candidate for it. Again, you have to be your own advocate, whether it's your nutrition or your own mm-hmm. physical health.
Yeah.
Because doctors don't know it all. They just don't. They're the worst in nutrition anyway.
On the blood work note too, our biggest package that we do offer, in addition to hydrostatic testing and a meeting with one of these two lovely people, I'm pointing at Josh and Rosanna right now for those of you who can't see, is blood work as well. And one of them, or Brian, actually, I think Brian analyzes that to determine.
Yeah, Brian has a set of doctors behind him with the vertical diet stuff where they can analyze your blood, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people need to take more advantage of that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Any other myths we want to discuss, or are we kind of tapped out?
Those are the most popular ones I can think of.
Those are good for now. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
What about the taco diet?
The taco diet every Tuesday.
What's the taco?
Tuesday.
I'm not sure I've ever had a taco.
See tacos, you eat them.
I better check.
Yeah, you have.
I don't know.
That's blasphemous.
You like tacos.
There's like good taco trucks. There's a taco truck in Lafayette that I'd like, that I haven't been to though in a while.
The Taco Wagon?
Yeah.
So
good.
Where is that?
It's been a long time. It's over right next to the little Mexican market.
Yeah, when I get my breakfast.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. That's where I get my breakfast burritos.
I heard they're good. Jacob used to say he went there.
Yeah, they're better than Santiago's. Although Santiago's has good.
Yeah.
Taco Wagons.
Has anybody been to Fuzzy's?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it kind of iffy?
So Fuzzy's is funny. Yeah. And the reason for that is they have a lot of locations.
Yes.
And outside of the original locations, they all suck. So if you go to the one off 120th and Sheridan.
Yeah.
When I've gone there like three times, they have horrible service. The people there are terrible. The food is subpar. But if you go to the one off of
in
Thornton.
Oh.
I think it's off of 104th in Washington or something like that, in that area. And they have great service, great atmosphere, and their food is still good. So the first time I went to Fuzzy's, I thought it was terrible. But then I was taken to the one in Thornton.
And the one in downtown Arvada is really good.
Is it?
Yeah.
So yeah, it depends on the location. Yeah.
So when I was working in food service, the most of the staff is primarily Mexican, which is not racist and it's not a stereotype. It's just an accurate statement. If you've ever worked in food service, you're aware of this fact. They are the people that usually work in the kitchen or work in the dish line to clean things. So they told me.
So you didn't do either that. You were the cashier.
I know. I wasn't the cashier. Well, I kind of was, but then I was
also, I washed the dishes right next to them.
I had to be the expo, so people yelled at me when their food was incorrect. That was why I quit that job.
So you took all the shit.
Yeah. Anyway, a couple of the people that work on the line making the food said that the most authentic Mexican restaurant, which is hard to say in the state of Colorado because we're kind of close to New Mexico, which is where they have good Mexican food, and we're kind of not really close to, you know, wherever. But they said the most authentic Mexican restaurant is in Denver, and I think it's
Las Margs.
No, it's
that one's my
it's
favorite.
Not Chubby's. Now. It's like downtown Denver.
There's a tequila cafe. Taco tequila
it's
whiskey.
Called Cafe something, or it's some like Mediterranean. Not so that.
Well, we have to go find this restaurant.
We'll find it.
I feel like I've had the best tacos in Colorado. Like I can name my list.
I think I know which one you're talking about downtown.
You'll have to see if you can look it up.
Yeah, look it up because
it's something with an M, I feel like.
Because if you're looking for like the best street tacos.
Madagascar or some.
I would argue that Tiaco in Boulder is really good.
That's right. We went to Tiaco that one day.
But if you were to go downtown, Las Marg is probably one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Taco Tequila Whiskey is also up there.
Taco Tequila Whiskey.
I'm a big fan of Verde, but they're more of like a white person's version of Mexican
food. Yeah, they're
Tex-Mex. Yeah, they're Tex-Mex.
Now you got to have the authentic street tacos. So with corn tortillas doubled up.
Oh, I used to go up to the
Blue Bonnet. Have you ever been to La Choza?
No.
In Boulder? Okay, never mind.
Where's that?
It's North Boulder. It's
yes.
It's the little tiny.
Yes.
It's next to a hair salon and a daycare center.
Mariachi bands.
Yeah.
Well, they used to have a mariachi bands on Wednesday nights or Sunday.
Speaking of Mexican stuff, we still haven't gone to Casa Benitas, have we,
no,
Jake?
We haven't
let's
gone
go.
Oh, that's going to be our next adventure.
So for those of you listening and those of you watching, I have never been to Casa Bonita. But Casa.
God, you're so white.
Casa Bonita. Casa. Funny. But from what I've been told by the rest of the people here, that it's very similar to what Cartman experiences on the episode of South Park.
Oh my God.
So I've watched the episode a number of times.
You want to? I got a
coach. Que bonita.
Actually, we should really plan for that because you can't live in Colorado and not go. Yes. Like, you have to go.
But am I going to have diarrhea for like 3 days?
Yeah, you got to plan it out.
Maybe we should go and then go to the Rockies game.
Okay.
So I have the shits of the Rockies game?
Oh, we're all going to have the shits together.
Just eat the soap of
Did you know they closed it one time because they had bug infestation?
I believe that.
I totally believe that.
Oh, I remember. And then they called it remodeling, but yeah.
I've been past it. Yeah. Drove past it before.
It's a historic landmark.
It's still pink, isn't it? Like brown.
Oh, it's so beautiful. So beautiful. Oh, man.
All right, we're gonna do a team dinner. Do we have any other myths that we want to cover? Or is that about it for our myth talk today?
I don't know.
No?
What do you got? You got anything?
Any upcoming events we should talk about, the nutrition program or just the gym in general?
Oh, yeah. We're having our 21-day detox coming up at the end of April.
Now,
April 28th.
Explain why
that
is different.
What kind of detox is this? Is this a diet doc myth detox? Since we just spent
clarify because we just talked about why this is a myth.
Well, more information to come. But we're gonna make it pretty simple for everyone. Members and non-members are welcome to join. But it's going to be, you know, like getting rid of alcohol for 21 days, getting rid of sugar, all in preparation for Memorial Day in the summer. So getting your shit together.
So now, is this something similar to what we try to do before the Open, except it's a little bit longer?
Yes, and it's a lot more involved.
Okay.
So we kind of just threw that out there and reminded people every so often.
Do people have to sign up for the 21-day detox?
Yes, they're going to have to sign up.
Where can they find the information?
Brian will have the details out, I think, at the start of the – or not, maybe not the start, but he will have them out like next week.
So for those of you in the Cutthroat community, that'll be –
And you can always look on our bulletin board.
Yes, it'll be in the bulletin board or the community page. And for those of you not in the community and those of you watching them from outside of this, we will put it up on the main Facebook page and also, I'm assuming, the website eventually.
Yeah, we just want to get everybody in check for the summer and people who are going to maybe run the Boulder, mm-hmm. Or do whatever.
Now, what kind of results can we expect from this? Will people grow 6 inches and gain muscle? Or get bigger dicks, or
oh my god,
is that
fuller erections?
Fuller erections?
Yeah, you might. If you eliminate sugar from your diet, you might
really
get fuller erections.
That's
you
my,
might, or
that's
you
my
will?
Problem.
I don't know. I think it depends upon the person.
It's not a problem. That's right, because you don't have any experience with that, do you?
I've got plenty of experience with that.
Okay,
that's a good spot.
Awkward.
To do
I can really tell you how you get a fuller erection. You do kettlebell swings. Should I elaborate on this?
Okay, there hasn't been any studies done in this, but what? It makes a lot of sense. If you think about it, older men have a problem getting erections or have erectile dysfunction, right?
Yes.
So it could be hormone related, but it could also be the fact that they all sit on their asses all day because they have a desk job and their asses are completely flat. So that pelvic floor is extremely weak and their asses are also weak. So Josh's theory is if they do 50 kettlebell swings a day or something like that, it'll lead to a bigger ass and firmer erections.
So what
Does
happens?
It affect your prostate?
Yeah. So this is how it works. Right? So as you do kettlebell swings, you're contracting your glutes and you're thrusting your hips forward, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which in turn is building your glute muscles, right? Which is putting pressure on your prostate, which is building up your pelvic floor, which is pushing more blood into the erect penis, right? So it makes it harder and lasts longer.
That totally.
Why do you think I do kettlebell swings every day?
I've never seen.
He
you
doesn't
do
want
one.
To lose his.
What are you talking about?
Oh wait, maybe I did the other.
Every day in my warm up.
He doesn't during the warm up.
Jesus.
Yeah, well, as soon as I hear you're warming up, I kind of leave for a while.
Because it's about 45 minutes worth of warm.
It's only 15 minutes. God damn it.
All right.
Kettlebell swings are a part of that.
That's going
to
be
good
a
to
good
know.
Note mm-hmm. to end the podcast on. If anybody wants any more information on you guys. I'm not going to go to you first because I'm going to let you think about it. Because every time I ask you this question, you never have
let
it
me
right.
Go first.
No. We're going to go with Josh first. So, Josh, where can they find more information on you?
If they want to go to my Instagram page, they can go to coach.j.sharp on Instagram, or you can go to my personal page. It's Sharpie_546. You can find me on Facebook under Joshua Sharp if you would like. Or you can just go to idealcollaborative.com under nutrition and click a consultation appointment with me, and we can go from there.
Wow, that's a lot.
Okay, what do you got?
In my email, so josh@cutthroatcrossfit.com. And Roseanne, your turn.
So, let's see, Instagram, rsmario13.
Yes.
Yes. You can also reach me if you want to interested in the body fat testing at Roseanne@bodyfattest.com. R-O-S-A-N-N-E. Remember that? Roseanne is ugly. Okay. And then what is the other one? Oh, Roseanne at Ideal Collaborative for Nutrition.
Okay. Very cool. And if you guys want to get more information from me or you'd like to get into the sport of weightlifting, you can contact me at jake@valhalla-barbell.com, which is my email. You can also direct message me on Instagram at Coach Jake Sterney. That's all I'm going to give you.
Maybe that's where that guy got my number from Tinder, was here.
What?
Remember, I just read that to you yesterday.
You're on Tinder?
No, I'm not.
28-year dude is trying to hit on Roseanne.
No, but he's actually, we're chatting now because I'm,
oh, you should have taken,
I'm trying to set him up.
You know what you should do? We should put a wig on like Jake or I, take a picture of us and be like, this is what I look like.
No, send him a picture. Send him a picture of one of us. I said, are you still looking? And he said,